Chapter 47. A Sociological Intensive. Whilst I was working at the Catedral Metropolitana in Mexico City, accommodation remained a worrying preoccupation. I needed somewhere to sleep for 4 nights, each week. What transpired as a result was a string of overnight stays or billets, for want of a better word, with friends, friends of friends, or co-workers, from the cathedral. This was the state of play for the duration of my open-ended, non-existent contract, when I worked for the Mexican government as an archaeological illustrator. The unexpected gift my accommodation dilemma provided was a fascinating sociological intensive. As I moved from one household to another, I witnessed a cross-section of domestic life in Mexico City, observed from the inside. Here I'll write briefly about a number of my experiences. Rafael Garcia. My friend and fellow Instituto student, Joanne, organized a bed for me, with her friend of many years standing, Rafael, a freelance newspaper cartoonist. He lived in a third-floor walk-up apartment, comprising a living room, a kitchenette, a small bathroom, and 2 bedrooms. It was a typical bachelor pad, with both furniture and creature comforts in short supply. Rafael used one end of the living room as his workspace, with his desk placed next to a window that flooded his desktop with natural light. He gave me a key, so I could come and go as I pleased. Rafael's personal life was a mess. Joanne explained that he was having a steamy affair with a married woman, who had a very jealous, controlling husband. The lovers were playing with fire, as I was soon to discover. Most evenings Rafael was out. This suited me, as I was not pressured to cook for 2, or socialize after a hard day at the cathedral. On the 4th night, around 8 o'clock, there was a knock at the door. Even though I was alone, I decided to answer the door, assuming the knocker would be a friend, or a neighbor. But instead I received a terrifying shock. Before me stood a man with a revolver in his hand, asking to speak to Rafael. I managed to collect myself sufficiently to stammer, I don't speak Spanish. Even though I perfectly understood what he said. Whilst waving the revolver around he said menacingly, "Tell Rafael when I see him, I'll kill him." He then turned and walked away, leaving me standing in the doorway, wondering if I was dreaming. I closed the door quickly, to discover I was shaking with fear. I made a calming cup of tea, hoping Rafael would return, but as he didn't, I went to bed. Before leaving for work the next morning, I passed on the message. But overnight, I decided not to return the following week, because even as an innocent bystander, Rafael's private life was too unpredictable for me. Some weeks later, he asked me to a family gathering, not far from San Miguel. I agreed to go, well aware I was the smokescreen for his dramatic personal life. Nery Vargas. Guatemalan consul to Mexico. Nery lived in a small apartment, off the Paseo de la Reforma, the elegant main drag through the center of Mexico City. I'd met him when applying for a visa, and we'd spent some time together in Guatemala, before the 1976 earthquake forced me to return to Mexico. He immediately responded to my desperate plea by offering his spare bedroom. I only lasted 4 nights, because I soon discovered Nery also had a complicated personal life. A wife and family in Guatemala, plus a North American woman friend. I quickly realized my presence may have been difficult to explain and could possibly create problems in his marriage, as well as his extramarital relationship. Archaeologist Constanza Vega. My boss offered me a bed in her beautiful walled house in the upmarket suburb of San Uncal. Constanza drove her VW Brasilia to the cathedral daily. After work on Monday, we drove back to her house, where the maid served supper in some style. Professionally, Constanza was highly respected, both in Mexico and further afield. As a divorced woman, She was fortunate to have a well-established career that gave her an income, as well as a focus for her life without a partner, in a country where women of all social classes were expected to marry and remain married. Next morning, to my surprise, Constanza asked me if I could drive. As I had an international driver's license, as well as an Australian one, I said, yes. To my complete surprise, she handed me the keys of the car, and, with Constanza navigating, we headed off. As we approached the cathedral, I somehow managed to cross 8 lanes of erratic fast-moving traffic, without incident, and my lasting memory of the journey is one of complete terror, as Mexican drivers make their own road rules. Thankfully, I wasn't asked to drive again, and this was the first and last time I drove in the city. Grateful for Constanza's hospitality, some weeks later I was able to reciprocate, when she came to San Miguel, to stay with us for a weekend in our grand colonial house, and I've a photograph to prove it. Co-worker Marta Cabrera was studying archaeology at the University of Mexico. She was one of very few Mexican women I met undertaking university studies in 1976. Marta's father was a trucker who paid for her education. A wise investment, as she was energetic and smart. She gathered me up and took me home to her family, living in a large two-story townhouse with off-white ceramic tile floors throughout. The living room was furnished with gilded Louis XV cabriole leg chairs, upholstered in red velvet. As well as the chairs, I have another abiding memory of my stay with her family, that of waking up in the early morning. Half awake, Marta, a chatterer, would hit me with a burst of rapid Spanish, expecting a coherent reply. Inside, I was screaming. Please, don't speak to me in Spanish. Not yet. Give me time to become fully conscious. Marta drove a shiny red VW Beetle, a very popular car in Mexico at the time. As a result, in true Latin American style, they were referred to as ombligo, meaning belly button, because everybody has one. Whilst staying with Marta, I tagged along to her archaeology lectures held in the early evening at the Museum of Anthropology and History. I was always warmly welcomed, and my ad hoc archaeological education continued by eavesdropping on her lectures. Elizabeth Cuellar. Elizabeth was a transplanted North American, with a master's from the Instituto. After graduating, she married a Mexican, and took his name. The marriage disintegrated, but she chose to remain in Mexico, and found work. We shared a passion for textiles. She kindly gave me a bed in her apartment that contained many rare and beautiful examples of Mexican crafts in timber, tin, fabric, and ceramics. I loved staying with Elizabeth, surrounded by beautiful objects, and we spoke English. A little respite from the language beyond her walls. Thankfully, my specialized contribution for Patrimonio Nacional was not affected by the musical chairs nature of my various billets across the city. But an unexpected crisis was looming. One that would seriously affect my health, and consequently my work at the cathedral. On reflection. Mexico City traffic. Driving in Mexico in 1976 was a frightening experience. I shudder to contemplate how much worse it must be now, as the population has more than doubled. Even then, traffic congestion was horrendous, creating daily gridlock across the city, and I recall a solution implemented for a time. Cars with registration plates that ended in an odd number could be driven one day, and those having an even number, the next. This was a great idea in theory, but I was told that the wealthy sidestepped any inconvenience by having two cars. One with odd number plates, and the other, even. Some years later, my fear of driving in Mexico City traffic returned with a rush, whilst I was being whisked around the city at speed. I was surprised to find myself uttering small involuntary yelps, as we repeatedly came within a whisker of another vehicle. Clearly, Self-preservation is a powerful impulse. Facts. The VW Beetle. Mexico began producing Beetles in 1967. Production continued until 2003. Over 36 years, 21 million vehicles were produced, with some exported to Europe, when Beetle production ceased there, in the 1970s. When I lived in Mexico, I had no idea that the Mexicans built cars. Marta Cabrera has used her archaeological training to become a well-respected authority on petroglyphs. Elizabeth Cuellar. From 1955 onwards, Elizabeth systematically collected exquisite examples of traditional hand-woven and hand-embroidered Mexican costumes. She devoted her professional life to researching, writing, documenting, lecturing, and curating important textile-related projects. In later years, Elizabeth's house at San Uncal was my base of operations when I visited Mexico. Elizabeth's legacy. In 2011, Elizabeth donated her entire collection to the Textiles and Clothing Museum at Iowa State University, her alma mater. The collection was exhibited as Elizabeth Cuellar's Mexico, Textile Variations. Her dedication and commitment to collect, document, and preserve Mexican textiles was far-sighted and was important in an era of massive change.